trying to make too. Praise the Lord. Okay, our text for today is, we've made it to Genesis 20. And so if you could turn there. Genesis 20 and verses, and it's the entire chapter, verses 1 through 18. That'll be our text for today. If you're able to stand, would you please stand and let's honor God as I read these verses in your hearing. And then we'll ask God's blessing on our time together. Genesis 20, beginning at verse 1. From there, Abraham journeyed toward the territory of the Negev and lived between Kadesh and Shur. And he sojourned in Gerar. And Abraham said to Sarah, his wife, she is my sister. Excuse me. And Abraham said of Sarah, his wife, she is my sister. And Abimelech, king of Gerar, sent and took Sarah. But God came to Abimelech in a dream by night and said to him, behold, you are a dead man because of the woman whom you have taken, for she is a man's wife. Now Abimelech had not approached her. So he said, Lord, will you kill an innocent people? Did he not himself say to me, she is my sister? And she herself said, he is my brother. In the integrity of my heart and the innocence of my hand, I have done this. Then God said to him in the dream, yes, I know that you have done this in the integrity of your heart. And it was I who kept you from sinning against me. Therefore, I did not let you touch her. Now then, return the man's wife, for he is a prophet, so that he will pray for you and you shall live. But if you do not return her, know that you shall surely die, you and all who are yours. Verse 8. So Abimelech rose early in the morning and called all his servants and told them all these things. And the men were very much afraid. Then Abimelech called Abraham and said to him, what have you done to us? And how have I sinned against you that you have brought on me and my kingdom a great sin? You have done to me things that ought not to be done. Verse 10. And Abimelech said to Abraham, what did you see that you did this thing? Abraham said, I did it because I thought there is no fear of God at all in this place, and they will kill me because of my wife. Besides, she is indeed my sister, the daughter of my father, though not the daughter of my mother, and she became my wife. And when God caused me to wander from my father's house, I said to her, this is the kindness you must do me. At every place to which we come, say of me, he is my brother. Verse 14. Then Abimelech took sheep and oxen and male servants and female servants and gave them to Abraham and returned Sarah his wife to him. And Abimelech said, behold, my land is before you. Dwell where it pleases you. To Sarah he said, behold, I have given your brother 1,000 pieces of silver. It is a sign of your innocence in the eyes of all who are with you. And before everyone you are vindicated. Then Abraham prayed to God, and God healed Abimelech and also healed his wife and female slaves so that they bore children. For the Lord had closed all the wombs of the house of Abimelech because of Sarah, Abram's wife. Amen. Father, we humble ourselves and bow before you now, and we ask you to help us to see clearly what you are saying here in your word. Help us to understand clearly what you are saying to us, and then, Lord, help us to apply it effectively in our lives that we might live according to your will. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, God bless you, and thank you so much for your patience. As we take a look at this chapter, I want to use as a subject, faith yields to fear. All right? Faith yields to fear. Now, up to this point, we realize that Abraham was hospitable to the Lord and to the angels in faith. You remember we saw that in Genesis 18? When the Lord and the angels came to Abraham's residence, he ran to meet them. He greeted them. He served them. And he was hospitable in every way. We also saw in that was the first eight verses. We also saw in Genesis 18, 22 through 32 that Abraham was there interceding with the Lord for Sodom. Right? He was interceding for the Lord to spare those who were in Sodom. And so you see him as an intercessor. One who loves people and who is concerned for people and who has a heart of mercy. Then we saw in the end of verse 32, the Lord answered Abraham and he told him that I will spare Sodom if there are 10 righteous people there. You remember that? And so Abraham gladly received that answer from the Lord in faith. Up to this point, everything that we see Abraham doing is all in faith, right? And then you might remember that after that, verse 19, most of verse 19, excuse me, most of chapter 19 concerns Lot and the experiences there in Sodom and Gomorrah. We see the angels go there to Sodom and Gomorrah and to deliver Lot, his wife, and his two daughters. Once they are away from the city, then God sends judgment on Sodom, right? Sends judgment on Sodom. And I want to read Genesis 19, verses 27, 28, and 29, because it's there. Abraham has interceded and he's prayed that God would spare Sodom if there are 10 righteous people. But it's there we see Abraham observe both the judgment and the mercy of God. And this is all done in faith. Genesis 19, verse 27. And Abraham went early in the morning to the place where he had stood before the Lord. And he looked down towards Sodom and Gomorrah and towards all the land of the valley. And he looked, and behold, the smoke of the land went up like the smoke of a furnace. So it was that when God destroyed the cities of the valley, God remembered Abraham and sent Lot out of the midst of the overthrow when he overthrew the cities in which Lot had lived. And so he observes God, even in his judgment, remembers mercy. And he's done this in faith. He didn't try to contest it with the Lord. He accepts God's will. Today, then, we find ourselves moving on to chapter 20. In this chapter, I want to divide our thinking up this way. We're going to look at what I call God graciously revealing sin in verses 1 through 13. And then we're going to see how God graciously provides for saints and sinners in verses 14 through 18. All right? And I believe that you'll see why I have worded this way. Let's begin with looking at God graciously revealing sin. In verses 1 and 2, you're going to see Abraham's fear of man. Abraham's fear of man. Now remember where we are. Abraham has journeyed. He's a pilgrim, right? He's a pilgrim. He left his homeland. You remember back in Genesis 12, God said, Abram, I want you to leave this place. I want you to leave this country. I want you to leave your family. And I want you to go to a place, a land that I will show you, right? In Genesis 12. And Abraham, in faith, left all of that behind. All the family, his possessions, at least those things that were not movable. He left all those things behind, and he left to journey to the land that God had promised him. Now we find that he has made his way to this area called Mamre. All right? Mamre. And it's here in Mamre that our story picks up. You see, look at verse 1 of chapter 20. Abram is going to leave Mamre, and he's going to an area called Gerar. From there, Abraham journeyed toward the territory of the Negev and lived between Kadesh and Shur, and he sojourned in Gerar. Now, here's what we all have to remember. Both of these locations were filled with unbelievers, right? These are people that don't worship the God of Abraham. And so he's constantly finds himself in this environment where he has to live by his own faith and not getting, he's not drawing encouragement from those around him. See, the Bible doesn't tell us why he left Mamre, but he did. And he finds himself now in an area with a king that he's not familiar with. Okay? Now, here in Gerar, Abram and Sarah have cooked up a plan. Okay? And Abraham and Sarah have agreed on a plan of deception. You know what it is. He said, every place we go, where we have these heathen environments, they are going to want to kill me because Sarah was a beautiful lady. They're going to look at you and they're going to want to kill me. And so Abraham said to Sarah, you must say that you are my sister to spare my life. Okay? They made this agreement before they left his homeland. And so, you see chapter 20 and verse 2, and Abraham said of Sarah his wife, she is my sister. He's made it to Gerar. He's now faced with a king and unbelievers that he feels like are definitely going to kill me because of Sarah. And so he and Sarah have agreed that we're going to say you're my sister. That saves me. Regardless of what kind of predicament that puts Sarah in, they have agreed that this is what we're going to do. Alright? So you see this plan of deception. And if you remember your Bible, you know this is the second time this has happened. Right? When he left his homeland and wound up in Egypt. In chapter 12. With Pharaoh, he said the same thing. He told Pharaoh, this is my wife. Pharaoh took Sarah. God delivered him from that. You think that on that occasion he would have learned. But here he is faced with the predicament again. And he and Sarah do the same thing. Now here's something that I want all wives to think about. Abraham coerced his wife to do this. He actually pressured his wife to do this. Now, it wasn't right for Abraham to do it. But neither was it right for Sarah to agree to it. Okay. He pressured her, and she, because she agreed to it, then they both were co-participants in this lie and in this deception. Right? Just like the Garden of Eden. The wife led the way in the sin and convinced the husband to do it, but they both were guilty, right? And so here we see Abraham's fear of men, and he has brought his wife into this situation with a deception to what he thinks protect his life. Now notice Abimelech's fear of God. Abraham is afraid of Abimelech, and we're going to find out that Abimelech learns to fear God. Wife stealing was common. Okay? It's not like in our culture. We have culture still in this world around in other countries where they still don't respect marital relationships. Okay? But that's rare. In this environment, where Abraham has journeyed, wife stealing was common. And so Abimelech took Sarah, assuming that she is a single woman. Look at verse 2. You see verse 2? And Abimelech, king of Gerar, sent and took Sarah. Now you need to follow this because this is when the story begins to take on hopefully significant lesson for you and I. Abimelech took Sarah, assuming that she was single. But God interrupted Abimelech's marital plan. He took Sarah as a single woman. He was going to bring her into his household, and he was going to marry her. God interrupted his plans. You got verse 3? Turn to verse 3 with me. Genesis 20 and verse 3. But God came to Abimelech in a dream by night and said to him, behold, you are a dead man because of the woman whom you have taken. Imagine that in your dream. You're trying to sleep and God comes in your dream and says, you're going to die. Right? And he gives him a reason. You're a dead man because of the woman whom you have taken, for she is a man's wife. Now Abimelech had not approached her. So he said, Lord, will you kill an innocent people? Because Abimelech, what? Has assumed she was a single woman. So he doesn't know that he has committed this sin before God.
Right.
Did he not himself say to me, she is my sister, and she herself said, he is my brother? In the integrity of my heart and the innocence of my hands, I have done this. Then God said to him in a dream, look at this. Yes, I know that you have done this in the integrity of your heart, and it was I who kept you from sinning. Hmm. All of us need to remember this. When you think things have gone well for you just because you did so, because things were just fine for you, you need to remember that it's God who's keeping back evil from you. God wants Abimelech to know, don't take any credit for the fact that you didn't consummate this marriage with this woman. Mm-hmm. Y'all do know that consummating a marriage with sexual intimacy, that's the next point. I did not let you have sexual intimacy with this woman. Don't take any credit for that, Abimelech. I stopped you from that.
Amen. Amen.
Can I speak bluntly? I made you impotent. Okay. And so, God wants him to know that I did that. Okay. Therefore, I did not let you touch her. Now then, return the man's wife, for he is a prophet, so that he will pray for you, and you shall live. But if you do not return her, know that you shall surely die, you and all who are yours. So you see, God interrupts his marital plans and reveals the truth of the matter. What does he show? Verse 6 shows us that God rules over situations even when a believer has fallen into sin. God is still there controlling things, okay? Even though things may be bad, God is keeping them from being worse. Things are bad for Abraham, but you can see God kept it from what? Being worse. It could have been a real mess because Sarah is supposed to have a wonderful son. Imagine the scandal if there had been some kind of sexual relationship going on. Right? You see how wonderful God is in the way he protects his plan and his promise. You also notice that God promised a blessing if Abimelech obeyed, but he promised death if he disobeyed, right? So Abimelech, what do you think Abimelech's going to do? He promptly gets up and obeys God in fear. He has learned to fear God now, okay? And so let's look at that. Look at verses 8 through 10. Abimelech now learns to fear God. So Abimelech rose early in the morning and called all his servants and told them all these things. And the men were very much afraid. Then Abimelech called Abraham and said to him, what have you done to us? Does this sound familiar? Sound like the garden? Adam! Where are you? What have you done? Right? You see God rebuking Abraham through the mouth of an unbeliever? Abimelech says, what have you done to us? And how have I sinned against you that you have brought on me and my kingdom a great sin? You have done to me a thing that ought not be done. Look at this. This is an unbeliever saying to a Christian, how could you actually do this? You're supposed to be a Christian. Mm-hmm. How could you do this? Right? You getting it?
Yeah.
And Abimelech said to Abraham, what did you see that you did this thing? What in the world, Abraham, could motivate you to do so? Even unbelievers don't do this, Abraham. So you see how taken back he is by this act? And then what I see, Abraham's response really is not, his confession is a lot of excuses and self-justification. You got verse 11? And I want you to remember what happened in the garden when God confronted Adam and Eve. Y'all know what happened, right? He got blame and excuses. I did this. Adam said, I did it because of the woman. The woman said, I did it because of the serpent, right? And so I want you to notice what happens here. Verse 11. Abraham said, I did it because I thought there is no fear of God at all in this place, and they will kill me because of my wife. So what has he done? He presumed that he knows the future. He presumed that what I've seen in the past is going to happen in the future. So he's walking by what? Sight, not by faith. You see the difference? Besides, and then now look at, listen to this. She is indeed my sister, the daughter of my father, though not the daughter of my mother. And she became my wife. Now is that, come on. That's just clever weaseling out of the situation, right? You see, he's just making excuses. And when God caused me to wander from my father's house, I said to her, this is the kindness that you must show to me. Now listen to that pressure that Abraham put on his wife. This is the kindness that you must show to me. At every place to which we come, say of me, he is my brother. He said to his wife, this is how you can really help me out. It doesn't matter that you're going to be disobeying God. Do this for me. Now, these are two Christians. These are two believers. Right?
Amen.
This is a deceptive plan that obviously God cannot honor. More fear of man than fear of God. And I'm going to tell you the real blessing here. You remember when Lot committed his sin, his compromising lifestyle, that damaged his testimony all his life. This is a blessing in that Abraham's testimony is only damaged temporarily. Christian, don't miss this. Don't presume that you can continue to disobey God and it's just going to be all right. Remember how Paul said, shall we sin that what? Grace may abound or increase? What? God forbid. May it never be that we presume that we can just continue to do wrong and think that it's going to be all right. God has worked this out where his testimony was not damaged permanently. And so we leave this thought with you. God is faithful to protect and deliver a believer even in times of fear and failure. Okay?
Amen.
But that's God's faithfulness. Don't presume upon God's faithfulness. Lastly, let's look at how God graciously provides for saints and sinners. Look at Abraham now receive God's blessing. You got verse 14? Stay with me just a little while longer. Verse 14. Notice that Abimelech made an offering of peace to the prophet of God. God has told Abimelech that Abraham is a prophet. Look at verse 14. Then Abimelech took sheep and oxen and male servants and female servants and gave them to Abraham and returned Sarah his wife to him. And Abimelech said, behold, my land is before you. Dwell where it pleases you. So here we see, verse 14 in particular, he gave him a peace offering. You see, what is the peace offering? Sheep and oxen and male servants and female servants. This is because God has told him that this man represents you. And if you do this man wrong, you are going to die. You don't want to be an enemy of this man, right? So what does he say? Then let me give him a peace. I want to be at peace with Abraham, right? So he gives him this gift. That's why he's not called it a peace offering. But then you notice he also gives him a gift of land. Verse 15, and Abimelech said, behold, my land is before you. Dwell where it pleases you. What's the point? Abimelech no longer wants Abraham to be a stranger. So he's saying, you can live here with me. Why? I want a prophet of God near me. I'm blessed when I got God's prophet near me. Don't be a stranger. Live anywhere you want in my land. You don't have to journey somewhere else, okay? Now, why am I saying this? Now, you need to follow this. Look at how God is blessing Abraham. Look at what he's done.
Amen.
God is blessing him anyway. And then, finally, I want you to notice that he gives the gift of money. Now, you need to think about this a minute. The gift of money, I believe, reveals the value of Sarah. And it also reveals, as this verse reads, it reveals her purity. Look at verse 16. To Sarah he said, "Behold, I have given your brother 1,000 pieces of silver. It is a sign of your innocence in the eyes of all who are with you, and before everyone you are vindicated." Now, here's what you won't know. Typically, a bride, he gave 1,000 pieces of silver, right? Typically, you pay 50 pieces of silver for a bride. What has he done here? He gave 20 times the amount for Sarah to show her value. Okay? This is I value this woman. And I want everyone to know that she's innocent, right? So, God, look at what has happened. God has blessed this man by grace. He didn't deserve any of it. He lied, he cheated, he was a coward, and God blessed him anyway. Christian, this is the way it happens in many of our lives.
Amen.
Many of us are blessed here today, not because we've been so good.
Amen.
Amen.
But because God has been so faithful.
Amen.
Amen.
Everyone here knows we've messed up. Bad. Right? Real bad. But God has blessed us in spite of it. That's the reason you and I know that God is good. Right?
Amen.
All the time.
Yes.
He is good. He is good. And then finally, not only does God bless Abraham, but he blesses Abimelech. So here's the thing. God not only blesses the saints, God blesses the sinner because of the saints. Your job, many of your jobs are blessed because of you. God keeps the job in business because you are there, because you need to eat, because he plans to provide for you. But likewise, he's also providing for all those that don't even thank God there, that could care less about God. Right? He's just that good. That's the point. And it's not because you and I have lived so perfect. Just like Abraham, we've made some awful mistakes, but God blesses us anyway. Gives you air conditioning in your home. Gives you nice vehicles to drive. Right? Gives you nice clothing. Not because we've been so good, but because he is so faithful. And then he blesses your neighbors. They could care less about God. Right?
Amen.
And so, look at Abimelech. Then Abraham prayed to God. And notice that through prayer, you see look at verse 17. You see verse 17, the very first phrase? Then Abraham prayed to God. Now, what did Abraham demonstrate when he prayed? He demonstrated obedience to God. God had told him to pray, right? He demonstrated faith in God. Because what benefit does it do you to pray if you don't believe? James says that kind of faith is worth nothing, right? So he demonstrated obedience to God, faith in God, and love for his enemy. Abraham is praying for the man that he thought was going to kill him. And Christian, you and I both know that God has told us you need to learn to love your enemy, right? And pray for those that are going to misuse you and that you perceive to be against you. And that's what Abraham had to learn to do. God honored Abraham. He revealed his power through Abraham's prayer, and he showed mercy to Abimelech along with his household. Let's finish this up. Look at verse 17. Then Abraham prayed to God, and God healed Abimelech and also healed his wife and female slaves, so that they bore children. For the Lord closed all the wounds of the house of Abimelech because of Sarah, Abraham's wife. There you have it. You've been patient, and I want you to see that even in Abraham's weak and failed condition, he's still a prophet and an intercessor, right? He still prays and God still hears him. My brother, my sister, when you have failed, Satan and the flesh, sin, want you to give up. They want you to feel like you don't have any place to pray. They want you to feel like you're too awful. You're too miserable. But God says that's the purpose of grace, right? Christ died for your sin. I know people that won't come to the Lord's Supper because they feel like they've sinned so often. That's the place to come. God wants you to come to Him, right?
Amen.
His blood covers. He covers our failures. He said, don't push away. Don't run from Him. Run to Him. Right?
Amen.
And so here you see this man, although he has failed so miserably, he turns to the Lord, the God that he loves, and he calls out to Him. And God has mercy, not only on him, He has mercy on his enemy. Because the same thing He told Job, I'm not going to bless you until you pray for them.
Mm-hmm.
You and I have to learn to pray for others without always being concerned about ourselves. God is faithful to provide the needs of the believer and the believer, right? He sends His rain and His sunshine on the just and the unjust. So how shall we conclude then? I want you to think about these last things. What can we learn from Abraham, Sarah, and Abram's nephew Lot? All three of them were saved by the same grace, right? Abraham, everybody that's ever been saved has been saved by the same grace. They all were saints. And they all were saved. Now here's the thing. All three of them committed sins that displeased God. Abraham, Sarah, and Lot. But here's what I want you to think about as you leave today. Lot committed sin in such a way that it damaged his testimony for the rest of his life. Lot did not just commit an act of sin. Lot made it a lot. He had a compromising lifestyle. His lifestyle was so compromised that people didn't even know he was a believer. That destroys your testimony. That destroys your effectiveness among people. If you're not going to live holy, then there's no power. There's no power in what you say because you become what? Hypocrite. Lot went to his sons-in-law, and they thought, what? You've got to be joking. You haven't been talking about God all this time. Well, you haven't been wanting us to live holy and to do things right all this time, you see? And so, the difference between Abraham and Sarah and Lot is that we look at two acts of sin committed by Abraham and Sarah, and they repented and they changed. Lot ruined his life by living this weak, compromising lifestyle. But eventually he learned to face his fear in victory. You do know that fear is the reason that Lot that he failed, right?
Mm-hmm.
I covered this with the children. 1 John 4, 17, 18, and 19 says to all of us, perfect love cast out fear. Perfect love is me maturing, me growing in my love with God, growing in my love for Him, then He will help me face circumstances of life without doubting Him. Wives can learn from Sarah. Learn to be submissive, but not when your husband is leading you into sin. God wants wives to be submissive to their husband. Not only wants, God what? Commands. He commands wives to be submissive to their husband, but not when they are leading you into sin. Okay?
Amen.
We all can see that God is the consistent one here. Not Abraham, not Sarah, not Lot. God is the consistent one, right?
No.
God is the is the one who is faithful. God is the gracious one. God is the merciful one. God is the compassionate one. He's the omnipotent one, the omnipresent one, the omniscient one. He's the one causing all things to work together for good. It's God. He is consistent. The Lord is what? The same yesterday, today, yes, and forever. He is the same for us today. He wasn't one way back with Abraham and Sarah and a different way with us. He's the same with us. He's still controlling our situation. He's still working in our difficulty. He still sees us when we fail, and he's still with there. He says, I'll never leave you. He's with all of us.
Amen.
When it even looks like things are so awful, you don't know how they'll ever be worked out, he says, I'll never leave you. Right?
Yes.
Never forsake you. The Lord will forgive us when we fail, even miserably, as a result of unbelief. He'll forgive us when we fail because of fear or hardness of heart. He will forgive you when you fail because you've been lazy or because you've just been procrastinating. He'll forgive you when you fail because you worry. You let worry keep you back from obeying God. He'll forgive you. God is faithful to protect and deliver us even through our times of fear and failure. But we must repent and learn from our failures. We must learn to trust God with all our heart. Learn to love him with all our heart. He delivered Abraham and Sarah. He delivered Isaac and Rebekah. He delivered Jacob, Leah, and Rachel. He delivered Esther. He delivered David. He delivered Rahab. He delivered everyone that will trust him, and he'll deliver you and me. He is faithful. He is faithful. He is faithful.
Amen.
Only trust him. And if you're not a Christian today, the Lord will deliver you today too. He's just as faithful to deliver anyone that has not trusted him as he does those who have trusted him for years. He'll trust you. He'll save you today. He'll forgive your sins and reveal his great plan for your life.
Yes.
But you must believe. There's no shortcut. You've got to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and he will save. He is that faithful. Lord, thank you for these few minutes and these lessons that we learned from Abraham, Sarah, and Lot. Thank you for helping us to see that life is not all easy and all joyful, but there are some painful lessons that must be learned. I thank you that you are a good teacher and a faithful Lord, and that you are compassionate and forgiving and merciful. And just as you were merciful to Lot, Lord, Sarah and Abraham, we're trusting you to show us that great mercy at our time of need likewise. So would you look upon this congregation and help us to glean from this lesson, from the pages of history, apply to our lives, and be all the more faithful to serve Jesus Christ in this day when people need good and faithful witnesses. It's in Christ's name that we pray. Amen.
Amen.
God bless you.